Everybody to the Forge and Faith, the Warrior's Way podcast. I'm Connor Burke, the host, alongside with Dylan Burke, my co-host.
In this podcast, we'll be talking about the Tomball Christian Warriors and their organization. We'll get an insider look on the players, the cheerleaders, the coaches, and talk to them about what they think about the team. We're going to try and get an insider look on the NFL, make some weekly picks, say some teams who should be ranked higher, some teams who should be ranked lower than others, and just really get an overlook of what we think about the NFL and its current situation.
I'm really excited to have a talk about that, Dylan. Not only are we going to talk about NFL teams, we're also going to talk about some private school teams and do some weekly pick-ems on who we think we should win or lose.
As we said, we would also like to get some weekly guests on the podcast. It could be anyone from the organization. It could be team members, anyone from the football team, any of the cheerleaders, any of the coaches. But the first week is obviously going to be a freestyle, but on the next couple weeks, we intend to bring people on and get their thoughts about the game.
Hey, Dylan, so let's get right into it. What's on the agenda for today?
Well, first of all, we're going to talk about the football game versus Eastern Bernard, or East Bernard, apologies. And then we're going to basically have an NFL rank draft where we rank the top 10 NFL teams, and we're going to go back and forth picking of who we think are the best teams available. Then after that, we're going to take our picks for week three and who we think is going to win, if there's any upsets and any potential shortcomings for these teams.
We've got a lot of good stuff to talk about here. And as far as ranking the NFL teams, who knows, we might get into a little friendly argument here. You never know.
Exactly.
This is all very good stuff here.
This could be comedy. I mean, like, you guys might just come here for comedy instead of coming here to actually listen to what we have to say.
Yeah.
And that's perfectly fine. But we just thought it'd be fun to start something like this. And in continuation with that, we're also going to finish off with talking about high school matchups, or also known as pick-ems, where we're going to pick five teams, which one of them is going to be your Tomball Christian Warriors.
Obviously.
And we're going to talk about if they're going to win, if they're going to lose. And then we're going to talk about four other teams around the league that we think are good matchups. Let's get started with talking about your game against Eastern Bernard. What I'd like to talk about first and ask you is how well do you think the game went for you guys? What did you think coming into this game?
Coming into this game, what we had planned is that we were going to have to try and beat them with a passing game because they had five guys on the line and they were playing cover zero. So we were looking to throw the ball right out at the gate and drive down the field and score.
Mm-hmm. So I think the next question that everyone wants to know is, given that you guys were only down 21-7 at halftime, do you guys think after halftime you had a real shot to win that game?
Yes, I did. The reason why I think that we did is because the last one of the last drives right before second half, we finally started hitting the run up the middle, and I broke a 20-yard run. And then Caden, our quarterback, threw a jump ball for Daniel Abraham, and he ended up scoring going to the second half. And I feel like that gave us a lot of momentum.
All right, so let's stop right there real quick. So what do you think of Daniel's catch? Because looking from the sideline, he looked like he was absolutely covered, and there was no way he was catching that ball. So, like, how do you think he made that catch? Like, do you think he's just a magician? Like, what do you think went down there?
It's Daniel. You throw that ball up, he's going to go get it. I remember when I played junior high ball, we did this half-back sweep pass, and I would throw it to him. I'd throw some absolute ducks in. Some of them were good, some of them weren't. But absolute ducks. And this guy would come back and catch the ball pretty much no matter what. I just had to throw it in his general area. It was amazing.
So what you're saying, he's just him. That simple.
I mean, I might not go that far because we still have a bunch of other really, really good receivers like Trevor Parker, John Gill. And, I mean, you can't forget about Luke Harrison either.
Yes.
Absolute studs, all of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Luke's a dog. I would agree. So anyways, all that was good stuff. So at the end of the fourth quarter, obviously you guys lost 35-14. And what was, like, the mood in the locker room after the game?
I mean, we weren't all, like, obviously excited because, you know, we had just lost the game. But, so we were a little bit, like, quieter than we usually are because so far we had been 3-0. What ended up happening is people were still positive about it. Call out, like, Jeremiah Wilkins. He was very positive. It's like, y'all, we just need to keep our heads up. Got to get to the next game. Go and win our next week. And Trevor Parker was as well, not only after the game, but through the game. earlier today, I was on Instagram, and his mom posted about how he could hear, she could hear all the positive things he was saying to the other team. It was like, hey, we're still in it. We're still in it. Stay positive. We're going to go down the field and score. And it's really just amazing to see from your captains that they can stay so positive throughout the game, even if we're about to, like, we're starting to lose and going through adversity.
That makes perfect sense. And I'm going to add to that, actually. As your captains, you set the example for the younger folks, for the younger kids coming up. And when you have a negative attitude or you're upset, it affects the entire team. Everyone starts getting upset. But if you should, like, show that, hey, we're still in this, hey, I'm confident, hey, the mood's not bad, and you don't show you're frustrated, you elevate the team to a higher standard, and you guys still play well, even when you're down.
Yeah.
So it is very important that you have these leaders like Trevor, like Jerry, and all these other captains standing up like they should be.
Yeah, to follow what Dylan said, the attitude on a team, it's like a domino effect. If someone's really positive, especially someone who you look up to, especially like captains that are like Trevor, Trevor Parker, Jeremiah Wilkins, Gabe Villalobos, and Owen Wilkins, when they have a positive attitude, the team feels that energy, and then they'll have a positive attitude. But if they were all down, then that would bring our team down, because then it would give our team like a not so positive energy, and it'll just make it to where everybody doesn't feel like we can win.
Okay, so I'm gonna highlight one player here, because he was like pretty much every play on defense, he was like his name was being called. I want to talk about Jacob Mealy. What were your thoughts on his game?
Jacob, well, he kept getting through. He got number of sacks, number of TFLs. They had to double and triple team this guy. He was an absolute stud. I'm just going to clap for him.
He was absolutely dominant that game. I believe, like, obviously it's not one player making a team, but the amount of sacks he had, the amount of pressures he had, the amount of times he was in the backfield, which it's not surprising because we all know Jacob has that talent. It's just whether he goes on the field and shows it, and he really showed it tonight, and we hope in more weeks to come that he'll also show the same thing, because that was just impressive. There is no one who got into the backfield more than him that day. There's no one who made more plays. For the first half, obviously, like, yet again, it's a team sport, but he kept you guys in the game with all those sacks, all those pressures, because if you have too much time, then you're going to be able to get the ball to those receivers that would have been open. Because there's plenty of times where their receivers were open, but he couldn't get the ball to them because he was busy getting sacked or trying to run away from Jacob or Jeremiah or anyone from there. So I thought the front defensive line did a great job. All right, now that we talked about the offensive side of the ball, obviously we talked about Jacob and what a good game he had, but let's really dive into the defense and what happened there. What was your game plan coming into this game?
This week, during practice, we were really, after watching film, we were really talking about all the crossing routes. So, like, they basically ran mesh, like, on, like, the middle of the field, like, the deep end of the field. So we really just focusing on not just getting to our zone and sitting in our zone, but manning up on the guy that came into our zone. And then if we needed to, pass him off to the other zone and just really being able to communicate. And what film also showed is that we needed to watch out for guys like their tight end number 48. Guy was an absolute stud, really good blocker. I think he was like 6'1", 250. So he was just this huge guy that we needed to make sure we took care of. And then also on those crossing routes, when a guy went in motion and ran like a little slant over the middle, that our linebackers needed to jam them, knock them on their butt, because it was less than 5 yards and it would just totally disrupt their passing off.
And it would make it to where essentially they weren't able to get the ball there. Because there was a lot of times that night, I'm not discrediting anyone on the team, but there's a lot of times that night where those slants were open, he was able to get it there, and they pick up a really nice first down and much more. So, yeah, that may be something to think about going down the road. All right, so now we're going to flip back to the offensive side of the ball. So what do you think you guys can improve on going to next week? Because there's also a lot of things you like from that week. There's a lot of things that you thought was good, but there's also a lot of things you can improve on. What do you think is important for you guys to beat Fort Bend Christian next week?
Yes, as you guys do know, we do play Fort Bend Christian next week. And really, I think going into the game, the best way that we're going to be able to go in there and win is if our offense stays consistent and just make sure that we don't get any flags on, like, conversions.
Yeah.
and whatnot. And then also on the defensive side of the ball, just making sure we communicate. That is so important on the defensive side of the ball, especially when you've got all this background noise from all the other fans and whatnot.
Yeah, communication is key when it comes into these games. I think us on the offensive side of the ball, obviously not as much, but the main thing for the offensive line, they blocked great last week, or last game against East Bernard. But when our offense, the entire defense, there's 11 people on that field. There's not two, three that change a play. You guys all have to be working together. It all has to flow properly. So just double-checking, Connor. So what, obviously we talked about this a lot and gone to depth, but let's reiterate what we think are the keys to the game for the offense and defense.
Keys to the game? Well, it sounds like, so Fort Bend Christian, they actually lost their starting quarterback due to injury. Interesting story, one of our D linemen, his dad is actually the head coach at Fort Bend Christian, so it's, honestly, personally, I think it's kind of cool. The keys to that game, since it looks like now they're mainly running team, is stopping the run, and on offense, again, just staying consistent.
Yeah. Don't try and force anything downfield. Stick to running the gameplay. Give everyone their carries and pass the ball when needed. I think that's the perfect
game. Spread their ball around to all of our players, not just one, so that way they can't just key in on one singular player.
And that makes perfect sense. So I think we're going to finish up this segment on what we talked about, the Ottawa Christian Warriors, and then we're going to get into talking about ranking the NFL teams, the top 10 right now coming into week 3. All right, guys, so our next segment will be picking the top 10 NFL teams right now in the draft, and we'll go back and forth. So we flipped a coin beforehand, and I won.
He called tails.
I called tails, and it was tails. So I will go first when it comes to picking. All right, and the pick is in. With the first pick and the NFL team's best team's draft, I selected the Kansas City Chiefs. And let's talk about this real quick. This is a no-brainer. The Kansas City Chiefs, even when they have bad games, they're still winning. Patrick Mahomes throws two picks, they still win games. And on top of that, they have the chance this year to have a three-peat. And I believe, beating the Ravens already and beating these good teams, that they're still and will be for a long time one of the most dominant teams in the NFL.
And Dylan, to be honest with you, I kind of, like, they probably will three-peat. But I really hope that they don't, because I'm tired of seeing them win so much. It's like the Patriots with Tom Brady.
You just want to see winning, fresh new face.
Yeah, and just with them, seeing them win every year, it's kind of like, come on. Can we not beat them? I mean, like, it's kind of annoying. It gets boring, almost.
Yeah, it's almost like it's same old, you see the same thing. But that's a dynasty over there. Even if they don't win this year, over the next 2, 3, 4 years, they're going to win another one. It's pretty much a guarantee, because even when Patrick Mahomes has bad receivers, he is still getting the ball to them. He is still doing Mahomey things, as everyone says, and he's still getting the job done.
All right.
The pick is in.
Pick number 2 of the NFL team's draft is the Saints. Now, before y'all say anything and start screaming and go, oh, no, the Saints aren't number 2, okay? They came in the game. Who did they play week 1 in?
I'm not sure who they played week 1, but I know week 2 they played the Cowboys.
Okay, well, anyways, week 1 they came in, they dominated, they kicked some butt, and then week 2 they did the same thing. And not only did they just kick butt, they did it against the freaking Dallas Cowboys, who are always consistent during the regular season. And they didn't just beat them, they blew them out.
And I think if you guys are going to say that they're an unproven team, I believe still that we're talking about by week 2. We're not talking about the entire season. Obviously, we're talking about in the past a little bit. But the Saints winning 40-plus points both games shows that they're really a playoff contender. Derek Carr's never looked better. I mean, he's had seasons where he's been really bad, he's been traded, but he's never looked better.
And then Alvin Kamara with 4 TDs. This guy right here, Dylan, he will not stop telling me about how many fantasy points he got from Alvin Kamara and how he's a dog and the best running back in the league, and he's just so underrated.
He is pretty underrated, because you had people, this is a little fantasy nerd knowledge here, but you had people picking him in the 5th or 6th round, and you had people picking Saquon and all these other people in the 1st or 2nd round, and he was outscoring them by like 20 points. And the thing is that he is averaging right now 30 points a game. So it's kind of crazy to think that obviously fantasy points don't directly correlate with how the team actually does, but it also like kind of does in a sense.
Okay, on to pick 3. The pick is in.
For the 3rd pick, in the draft, I have selected the Buffalo Bills. And the reason why I have selected the Buffalo Bills is because my biggest question, first of all, coming into the season, I didn't think they were going to be ranked number three. But my biggest question coming into this season was whether they were traded away all their good wide receivers. They got rid of Stephon Diggs. They got rid of Gabe Davis. They had no one left on at wide receiver. But obviously, I couldn't have been more wrong. They're still getting the ball to wide receivers. Josh Allen, being the good quarterback he is, he's still running the ball. He's still doing things to get the job done. And it's really shown through the first 2 weeks, and they've been dominant. And, yeah, they proved me wrong, and that's why I picked them number three.
Yeah, I like that pick too, Dylan. Especially, you know, with Josh Allen being there. He's an absolute dog. You know, I think he, like, hurdled over someone for a touchdown, which, you know, proves that he is good as he is. I feel like he's very underrated. People say he's overrated. I think he's underrated. And even though he doesn't have as many receivers to throw to, he's still finding ways to get them the ball and score.
Mm-hmm. And I believe that's very important to their success as well. All right, the pick is in.
And pick number four of the NFL team's draft, I'm going to go with the Detroit Lions.
I just want to say real quick, I am not happy about this, but continue, Connor.
My reasoning for this is because what they're doing right now is the same thing that they were doing last year, especially towards the end of the year with, I think it was Jameson Williams. He came back last year. He was like injured throughout most of the like entire year. And he came back during the playoffs, was an absolute dog. He came back. He's still back now, and he's been making plays in week one and week two. And not only that, you've got Amon-Ra St. Brown, who's doing his thing like always. He's got the backs, David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs.
One of the best backfields.
One of the best backfields in the NFL. Gibbs with that speed and that David Montgomery with that power running that he's got. Just, I feel like that's a pretty good pick in my book.
The only question is Amon-Ra St. Brown, obviously he's been good, but he hasn't really been anything special. And as your number one guy, that guy's really supposed to stick out. So that's my only question with their team, is that Amon-Ra St. Brown, yet again, he's been good, but he hasn't really been like, oh my God, he's a game changer. All right, so for these last six picks, we're going to speed through them. So for my third pick, I selected the San Francisco 49ers for obvious reasons. They are loaded all around the ball. And then for Connor's pick, for the sixth pick, he chose the Ravens.
I chose the Ravens, you know, because they were gone toe-to-toe with every game, like with the Chiefs, which was ranked number one, obviously. And then even though they lost to the Raiders, I feel like they just kind of had an off day during that day. So that's my opinion.
And we all know that the Ravens are just going to bounce back. It's that simple. All right, so now for my seventh pick in the draft, I've selected the Bucs. And now we're going to get into this seventh and eighth pick more. And the reason why I'm saying that is because, first of all, the Bucs, that's very controversial. It's not like they really have anything special. They have Baker. They have Mike Evans, who's aging, almost a grandpa at this point.
Baker has found a home for himself. He's finding a way to get it done.
He is finding a way to get it done, and that's why I chose him with the seventh pick, because somehow Baker's finding a way to get it done. He's been the best QB in the NFL, closely followed behind Derek Carr. But Baker's really been the best. Mike Evans has been doing his thing. Chris Godwin's been doing his thing. The running game, although it's not like spectacular, they've been doing their thing too. And they've really just been outplaying really good teams. They beat the Lions, who we have ranked above them, actually, which is kind of interesting. But they beat the Lions. They're 2-0, and they're doing super well. And it's not like they're going to have their Mickey Mouse 9-8 season and barely make the playoffs. It looks like they're going to be like serious division winners. And I think that's important.
I think that's quite unfortunate, though, considering the fact that, you know, we're Bears fans. Right now, Bears' O-line isn't looking very good. Caleb Williams is running for his life. But, you know,
but we'll
I think we'll get it,
that.
I think.
We'll get that figured out, but we're about to talk about
that
in a second.
We're going to get it figured out.
So, this is very controversial. Anyone who's listening to this podcast probably thinks the Texans should be ranked higher. But we have the Texans at 8, or Connor has the Texans at 8, and he'll explain why.
I picked them at number 8. I mean, I know most of y'all think they should be higher, and y'all are probably yelling through your phone or your laptop or whatever you're using to listen to this to. But so I actually went to the Bears-Texans game, and my reasoning for this is the Bears, they went toe-to-toe with the Texans the entire game.
And let me add one thing here. They went toe-to-toe with the Texans, and they threw two picks, whereas Stroud threw none. Stroud threw no picks. But one thing I'd like to note is during the second half, Stroud lost his rhythm completely. Yeah. They didn't score at all.
The Bears were literally one missed pick six away from winning that game. Kyler Gordon literally had it in his hands, but then he dropped it.
And you're probably thinking, where do we have the Bears? Because we're gassing up the Bears right now. Obviously, we're Bears fans. We have our opinions. But I think at least Connor and I can agree, the Bears are like in the 20 and below range. But the only reason why we're not ranking the Texans at 1, 2, or 3 like most people are is because you guys say the Bears are bad. But if you're saying the Bears are bad and the Bears hang with Texans, then the Texans really aren't as good as you're saying. And maybe the Texans just had a bad game. But then you got to prove it to me in week 3 that, hey, look, yeah, we had a bad game, and we're going to show you something next
week. Yeah, I agree. They went, you know, toe-to-toe. They should have technically annihilated them based off of how good they were supposed to be, especially with adding Stephon Diggs to their receiver core. So, that's my reasoning as to why I put the Texans at 8.
Although I will add, Bears defense, not offense, their offense was awful. But the Bears defense kept them in that game. And yes, they're one of the best defenses, but holding the Texans to 19 points on a high-powered offense that has some of the best running backs, some of the best wide receiver core, supposedly better than the Bears, I mean, you have to give the Bears defense a hat off here and basically say, hey, look, yes, the Texans are good, but wow, the Bears defense really got it done that night. And yet again, 19 points, sure, that's not anything impressive. It's not super low, but that's against supposedly one of the best offenses in the league.
Yeah, and as a Bears fan, you know, you got to expect that D to come through and carry us, especially right now where times are hard.
Being a Bears fan is just rough. But anyways, that's not what we came here to talk about. So, yeah, if you have any complaints, I mean, you can let us know. But yet again, that's just our opinion. With the 9th pick, I have selected the Philadelphia Eagles. And the reason why, to me, they're not higher is because they've been good. Don't get me wrong. But there's something that's been missing. And then on top of that, they just had a lot of injuries. Like A.J. Brown's injured. Devontae Smith's going to be the lead guy. Saquon, he's one of those people that when he's in, he's really good. But when he's not, like dropping that pass the other day. They would have won that game. I forgot who they were playing. But they would have won that game if Saquon caught that pass and he just didn't manage to come through. And yet again, you can say Jalen Hurts is good. You can say they've got like everything they need to do to succeed. But there's just something that's missing that's keeping them from being like one of the best or top 4, top 5, top 2, whatever you want to call it. But there's just something that's missing.
And for our number 10th pick, I picked the Packers. I kind of loathe
it hurts
this
me.
Because it hurts me because, you know, again, being a Bears fan, you know, we're supposed to hate the Packers and whatnot. But they've been able to figure out, I know Jordan Love got injured. That's probably why they're not ranked higher right now. They got their backup quarterback in.
But even with a backup QB,
still able to get it done against the Colts. They were able to get in the backfield and sack Anthony Richardson, make him throw picks.
I mean, they're crazy. And this thing is, it's like on defense, yes, they have good names. But on the offense, they don't really have like any like crazy named receivers besides really Jaden Reed.
And maybe Christian Watson. He had one good year, and then
he got injured the entire year. But anyways, they don't really have that great of weapons, but they're still getting it done. And that's because...
Josh Jacobs, though.
Yeah, Jacobs is good, but, like, still. I mean, Jacobs is getting old at this point.
He's a dog, though.
He is a dog, but still. But, yeah, I think that if they get their regular QB back, Jordan Love, and he balls out, I think you could see him higher in this list later in the season when we rank them. And I think that's it for our rankings. If we think we left any teams out, obviously we are subject to our opinion. If you don't like what the rankings are or any of that good stuff, obviously you can say, like, hey, did you think about this team? But yet again, we're just two dudes with opinions. It's not like we're analysts that are trying to, you know, statistically rank these guys. It's that what we thought through the first 2 weeks, what we feel like everyone's been doing and how everyone's been. Now, I would like to see some of those lower teams come up and mix things up. Because
The Bears.
Yeah, we're going to lose that. But anyways,
Bears got to rise up.
But anyone from that lower range, like we hope for them to rise up because this is looking a lot like last year's ranking of who was in the playoffs and who was close to getting the playoffs. So I'd love to see some things being shaken up.
Yeah, week 2, actually, now that I think about it, I forgot to mention, there were so many upset victories. It was kind of crazy.
Yeah,
I was so surprised.
It was so crazy to see a bunch of these teams win. Like, no one was expecting the Cowboys to lose. obviously no one was expecting the Bears game against Texans to be close. There's a lot of upsets or close games that probably shouldn't have been a close game. So it was good to see some variety. It looks like teams are starting to get better. The playing field is starting to level out.
And the Cardinals may have been on this list, because didn't they beat the Lions, didn't they?
Yes, the Cardinals are 2-0, actually, so they are an honorable
mention. They should have been on this list. You know, we kind of just came up with this just now, and we were kind of just running through it. So our list obviously is not perfect.
Obviously, I think the Cardinals are someone that you could be seeing up on this list in a couple weeks. You could see the Vikings, because they're 2-0 with a backup QB, Sam Darnold. And it's like, he's not that good. We all know this. He's been traded over everywhere, but he's getting the job done.
Yeah, I feel like he's going to be one of those guys like Baker's where he's jumping around, and then he may have finally found his home where he's going to settle in and, you know, and do his thing.
And who knows, he might be starting QB next year to mentor the Vikings. J.J. McCarthy. He might be mentored because he's been that good. And I think that'll close that off. I mean, I feel like we've went into pretty good depth on who we think's good, who we think can be better. So we're going to wrap this up and then move to our next section.
And on to the next section, we're going to do some NFL pick-ems for week 3. What's the first game on the list, Dylan?
The first game on the list is Bears versus Colts, conveniently. Real quick, so first of all, the game against the Patriots at Jets, we recorded this podcast later in the week. So obviously that game has already gone down. I would have picked the Jets anyways to win.
Yeah, that's on my fantasy pick-ems, that's who I picked. So I got a point for that. Let's go.
So I would have, like I said, I would pick the Jets to win. But what we will do is we'll pick the next Thursday night game, because we're not obviously going to be recording later in the week. But let's start up with the Bears at Colts. What do you think is going to happen with this game?
I think the Bears are going to show up in Indianapolis and get a job done. I think week 3, they're going to figure it out. The O-line's going to do their job, and Caleb Williams is just going to be able to pick that defense apart, and the Indianapolis Colts defense. And I also think that the Bears defense, like usual, is going to do good. And even if the offense doesn't do as well as we would hope them to do, I think defense, if they have to, they're going to carry.
Another thing for me is I predicted the Bears to win too. Obviously, we're Bears fans. The Colts had a good game against the Texans. They went neck and neck with them. And as well with that, but then when they played the Packers with their backup QB, they did it extremely poor. Multiple picks, all that good stuff. So I think with a high power defense, especially like the Bears, it'll release some pressure off the offense, allowing the offense to score more and allowing them to be in better field position. So I think we have the Bears here. I say the Bears by 7. What do you think?
I'm not sure exactly what the score is going to be, but I do feel like the Bears are going to win.
I feel like the Bears by 7 is a good.
And y'all might want to look out for some defensive touchdowns as well.
If you have the Bears defense on your fantasy team, I would recommend starting them with how bad Anthony Richardson was last week. So let's move on to the Chargers at Steelers. I have not researched on any of them. The Chargers have been bad. The Steelers have been good. Not really
good. They've been mediocre. The Steelers have been mediocre. They've been able to win, which is the important thing.
Yeah, they have Justin Fields starting as QB. He's been good. He hasn't been throwing any picks. Obviously, he hasn't gotten that many offensive yards while passing, but he's taking care of the ball. And I believe with the Chargers being 2-0 and just really haven't been showing that much. And Justin Herbert.
Chargers were 2-0 or they 0-2?
0-2, I meant to say. 0-2. And with Herbert really not showing that much, I think the Steelers win this game easily.
Yeah, I'm going to have to agree with you, Dylan, on this one. The Steelers, I think, are going to win, and Justin Fields is going to show up and get his job done. I mean, obviously, I guess for me, there also still might be a little bit of bias, because, you know, Justin Fields was the ex-Bears quarterback. I thought the Bears should have kept him, but we're just going to have to see how it goes with the Bears. Sorry for keep bringing up the Bears again.
I know, because yet again, we're Bears fans. We're proud.
We're Bears super fans.
Yeah, we're very proud of being Bears fans. So I would say, for our Eagles at Saints matchup, I'm picking the Saints. Obviously, that's going to be, some people might think that that's a good pick. Some might think it's a bad pick. But I believe with how good the Saints have been against the Cowboys and against these other teams, by just destroying them, even with the high-powered defense and offense, like the Eagles, I believe the Saints beat them handily.
I'm going to have to agree with Dylan. I don't know about handling. I think this is going to be a closer game. I think the Cowboys maybe have fallen off and aren't going to be as good this year, hence why the Saints blew them out in week 2. So I'm going to go with the Saints, but I think it's going to be a really close matchup.
So I think we've talked about most of the matchups we want to talk about. We're going to speed through the rest of it. Besides the Texans, we're obviously going to talk about the Texans game.
Yeah, we're in Houston.
And we're going to talk about the Dallas game as well. But Packers versus Titans, I think I've got Packers here easily.
Yeah.
I think the Packers defense is going to dominate.
Yep, I agree, especially with Will Levis. You know, he hasn't been doing that well recently. When they played the Bears week one, he kind of threw away the ball. You know, Bears got a pick six to pull off the lead and get the W. And it sounded like he gave the ball away a lot, too, during week two. So I'm going to have to go with Packers.
All right, and then for Texans at Vikings game, I think this is going to be a super close game. And the reason why I say this is I'm not gassing up the Vikings. I'm not saying, trying to say the Texans are bad. But yet again, the Texans coming off the Bears only winning by one touchdown. And even then, the Bears had a chance to win it at the end of the game. And the Vikings have just been good. And that's without their starting QB. They've been good on offense. They've been good on defense. So if the Vikings can keep it up, I think it's going to be a close game. I'm still going to pick the Texans to win this one. But this is might be where Connor and I disagree.
No, I'm going to actually have to agree with you on this one. I'm going to go with the Texans. I think it's going to be a close game. I think the Vikings are good. But this is going to be a prove-it game for Sam Darnold. And if he gets the upset win, gosh, Vikings will be in business.
They're in playoffs these.
But, you know, I'm in Houston, so I think not only do I think the Texans are going to win, I also kind of want them to win as well. I think C.J. Stroud's going to get the job.
Let's make this clear. Anytime the Texans aren't playing the Bears or it doesn't affect the Bears, we want the Texans to win.
Yeah,
not Texans haters.
Yeah, we're not Texans haters. We're not going to harp on the Texans.
But yet again, I'm just talking about what I've seen. I went to the game. He went to the game. Based on what we've seen, it's going to be close. So we're going to speed through this one. Browns at Giants. Pretty self-explanatory. I think the Browns win easily. I would think Connor would agree with that one.
No brainer, Browns. There's no explanation needed. Let's move on.
Broncos at Buccaneers. Buccaneers have just been good.
Buccaneers, easy money.
Buccaneers, easily. Now, Dolphins at Seahawks. A lot of people are going to say the Dolphins, but I have the Seahawks. And the reason why I have the Seahawks...
On your fantasy?
No, it's not because it's on my fantasy.
Oh, I thought you said... Okay.
No, but I had the Seahawks as winning this matchup. Just because of the fact that the Dolphins don't have their starting QB in. And I believe Tyreek Hill isn't as much of a weapon without Tua in.
I agree. I'm going to have to go Seahawks because Dolphins are with, what, something Skyler?
Skyler something. Skyler Thompson, I think.
Oh, yeah, Skyler Thompson. So, yeah, I think.
And while he's good, I don't think he's got the accuracy and arm to get it to him enough.
I think the Seahawks are going to win that.
And Tyreek Hill wins or loses the Dolphins games, along with their running back, Devon Achane. And if they can't pass the ball, Devon Achane's not going to do as well either. He might be a sit-up for fantasy as well. Now, Panthers at Raiders. We're choosing Raiders.
Oh, easy money.
Easy.
Raiders. Brock Bowers is going to get his job done.
It's self-explanatory. We're just going to move on. Ravens at Cowboys. This game is probably on primetime. It's probably the game of the week. I'm going Cowboys.
This is where I'm going to have to disagree.
And the worst
play
real quick. Let me finish my statement on why we're going Cowboys. They have been bad. I will agree. But Dak's one of those people where he gets kicked, punched in the mouth, and then he comes back and does well. And Ravens, although they've been good because they've been keeping with teams, but they're 0-2. And that's what really scares me, is that they're 0-2. And if they come on the road and lose against the Cowboys, you could get some talks about the Ravens just not being as good as they used to be.
Yeah, so like I was about to say before, you know, interrupt.
I didn't interrupt you.
You interrupted me. Anyway, I'm going to have to go with... I'm going to have to disagree. I'm going to have to go with the Ravens. I think even though they're 0-2, Lamar is, you know, going to get his job done. They were literally an inch away from beating the Chiefs. And then their next game, I think they just had an off day, which, you know, it happens. So, and the Cowboys, they got spanked by the Saints. And for all we know, the Saints might not be necessarily as good as they look, given the fact that it's only week two. So I'm going to have to go with the Ravens.
Okay, so now we got another good matchup, 49ers at Rams. I think we both have 49ers here, and both these teams are injured severely. The Rams don't have Cooper Kupp. They don't have Puka Nacua. I'm pretty sure Kyron Williams is injured too. So their entire roster is injured. And now for the 49ers, who they have is injured. They have Deebo Samuel injured. They have Christian McCaffrey injured. They have Nick Bosa injured. They have a lot of their good guys injured. So this is going to be a close game, but I still have the 49ers winning this one.
Sorry about my comment. I misheard it. Originally, I was saying, who do the Lions have hurt? But that's not even the matchup. It's
yeah,
49ers, Rams. Did you say who you thought was going to win?
Yeah, I think the 49ers are going to win.
You think the 49ers are going to win? I'm going to have to agree with him because even though they both have a bunch of people injured, the Rams, well, they don't have any guys at receiver at all. And versus the 49ers, they at least have Brandon Ayuk. I think he's going to ball out that game, and he's going to help the 49ers get the W.
Fantasy owners, he is a start on this week because they have no one else to throw to. So if you have him, he hasn't been producing, now's the week to play him. So the next matchup will be the Lions at Cardinals, which yet again, at the beginning of the season, I would say Lions by a ton. It wouldn't even be close. But the Cardinals have came out in their first two games with a purpose. They're 2-0 right now. They're looking great. They've beaten some decent teams. I believe that they can be really good. I still have the Lions, but I believe it's going to be a really close game.
So, I'm going to go with the Cardinals on this one.
We
Kyle
have to
Murray,
agree, disagree on something.
Yeah. Kyle Murray, I think he's in his groove, especially with the new young gun, Marvin Harrison. He's going to get the ball to him. They're going to win. They're going to score touchdowns, make big plays.
I have to say, that's more of the crazy, like, you would never predict it, is that the Cardinals will be good this year. It's pretty amazing.
No, I saw it coming.
Yeah, well, Connor saw it coming, but I didn't. So that's something that would, that's pretty crazy. Okay, so for the next matchup, which is Sunday Night Football, is Chiefs at Falcons. Until the Chiefs lose, I'm always going to say the Chiefs are winning, and that's pretty self-explanatory why. They're just a good team. Falcons have looked decent. The first game didn't look so good. The second game, they bounced back, and Kirk looked good. But it's really not enough to say, hey, look, they're definitely going to beat the Chiefs.
I'm just going to second what he says, and I'm just going to go with the Chiefs.
Yes, easily the Chiefs, I would say. So now we have Jaguars at Bills. Jaguars have been awful. Bills win.
Yep, self-explanatory. I completely agree.
Now, Washington Commanders at Bengals.
Ooh, that's going to be a good one.
This is a good matchup because the Commanders have been, like, iffy. And so the Bengals. Bengals obviously have the more talent on their team, at least I believe. They have better guys, more proven guys. But the Bengals just simply haven't been able to get it done. I don't know why that is, but they just haven't been able to get it done this season.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Bengals are going to win because they went toe-to-toe with the Chiefs. They were going to win, and they got all into the Chiefs at the very last second, snuck in the final score to win. But I think the Bengals are going to win because the Commanders, I think they're a better team with Jaden Daniels, but he's a young guy. He hasn't really gotten a chance to learn the game yet. I mean, it's only been 2 weeks. I feel like further down the road, Jaden Daniels is going to make the Commanders pretty good. But right now, he's still learning, so I'm going to have to go with Bengals.
This is where I'm going to go with the Commanders. I know. At some point, I had to pick the underdog here. I think the Bengals are going to win, but the Commanders, when Jaden Daniels has looked good, he's looked good. In the first week, he looked good. In the second week,
he hasn't thrown a passing touchdown.
Yeah, but he's
only rushed for 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, but he's also thrown for over 200-plus yards on the first game as well. So even though he hasn't thrown a passing touchdown, he's been moving the ball. He's been making things happen. Obviously, the second game didn't go as well, and that's why I'm saying it's kind of like a, you don't know what's going to happen. But I believe if the Commanders play well, they can beat the Bengals. It's going to be close, but I think they can win.
All right, and to wrap it up for the last game for the NFL Pick'ems, it's Cowboys-Giants.
Okay, so let's do this for the memes. We're picking Giants here, and I'm saying
you're picking Giants.
No, we are picking Giants.
Picking Giants.
Let me finish my statement real quick. I think we should pick Giants here because the Cowboys have gotten destroyed by the Saints and they also didn't do well the first week as well. So why not pick the Giants? Why not see if they can make the upset of a lifetime? And obviously we're probably going to be wrong, but why not pick them? Why not give them the opportunity to be like, hey, maybe they can get it done? Because the Cowboys have looked off.
You can give them that opportunity. I feel like it might be a closer game than people might think. But I feel like the Cowboys are still going to come out on top. Even though they got blown out by the Saints, I think they're still a pretty decent team.
I think the Cowboys will win too, but I'm going to go with the Giants. I want to see what Daniel Jones is possibly made of, even though he's been really bad. Simply. So this last segment of this podcast, before we close things up, we're going to talk about a couple of high school football games to watch and look out for.
More specifically, high school, private school football games.
And I think the first one that we should really watch is obviously the Tomball Christian Warriors at the Fort Bend Christian Academy Eagles.
You know, we just had to pick, you know, Tomball Christian Warrior about Fort Bend. This is probably going to be, like, a common theme because, you know, we're
this
Warriors.
Is based on it.
Warriors for life.
Yeah. So, they're ranked around 560. And
Tomball Christian, this week we had been ranked 317, but we're going to see how the rankings go. Like, is going to go after having lost to East Bernard.
It's probably
we might be like 340 or something. I think CalPreps right now has us ranked at like 340 or something.
I think 340, 350 is probably a good spot for you guys right now. Based on who Fort Bend has played, they really haven't played anyone impressive. I guess they have.
That's not true. They play teams that are really good. Liberty Christian's really good.
So, my bad. I guess they have. I might be wrong about that. So, the first three games, they have lost. And so, the first three games, they lost 56-0, 23-3, and then 42-32. But then won to someone by 70-0, which is kind of interesting because I just want to know who they played to win by that much.
Well, that team that they played, I had looked it up earlier today. That team was, like, ranked 11,000 in Texas. Didn't seem like that team overall was that good.
Okay, so based on their team, what do you think you need to do to stop these guys?
Well, we're going to need to stop the run, because from what I'm hearing and what I've seen on the little film that I've watched so far, that we're going to need to stop the run on defense and on offense. We just got to continuously throughout the whole game drive the ball down the field and score.
I believe that's the keys to the game, too. I feel like they're going to heavy run on the playbook. The more likely what you're going to see is they're going to run, and then as soon as you think, hey, they're going to run again, then they're going to throw a pass and do the same thing. They're going to pound the ball and make it unexpected.
We got to stop the run and make them pass, so that way, since they have a backup quarterback, because their starting quarterback got injured earlier in the year, so that way our defense could make some plays on the ball and hopefully get some picks.
And in a defensive back, you guys can't be sleeping tonight, because what's going to happen is yet again, they're going to pound the ball over and over again, and then they're going to go for a pass. So I think the keys, as Connor was saying, was to defend against the run, which you guys have been good at all year for the most part. And then on top of that, be ready for that pass, because it could happen at pretty much any time.
No.
All right, so for who we think's going to win, I would say for who's going to win, obviously, I'm going to go Tomball Christian Warriors. Their reign's a lot better. I believe that the score, you guys are going to get over 40 points. I believe you guys are going to score over 40 points. I believe you guys, your defense anyway, is going to keep them under 20. And I believe that you guys are going to come out and give everyone watching a show.
I think you said you weren't very generous with our defense. We were going to give up 20. Me personally, I feel like our defense, we're going to give up at the very most 14 points. You know, I would love to, I mean, obviously, I would love, you know, I'm going to say we're going to pitch a shutout because, you know, that's what our team does. We're good. But, yeah, I think at the very most, Fort Bend's going to score 14 points.
Well, I think under 20 points is very serviceable. I mean, it's not like it's crazy. Hey, it's going to be a shootout. But under 20 is a good number just because they played with some really good teams. So it's really hard to gauge how, like, what their offense is going to be like and what works and what doesn't. So I think that's a good gauge on that they're not going to go over that amount, but there's a lot of wiggle room for you guys. Right, so the next game we're going to talk about next team we're going to talk about to watch out for is St. Thomas.
Yeah, St. Thomas, they've lost a lot of seniors this year, and I actually really good friends with one of their former players. I think that even though they lost a bunch of seniors, even though they're 0-3 and they haven't necessarily been as good this year, I think St. Thomas is going to beat St. Pius.
Yeah, St. Pius is ranked like 720, and St. Thomas is ranked like 320. So I think St. Thomas takes to St. Pius pretty handily. Obviously, they've started the season 0-3. But since how good they were last year, they really haven't played like teams at their level, I guess, or what their rank is right now. They played teams that were all ranked super high.
Yeah, St. Thomas, even though they're, like I said, 0-3, they played teams like Kincaid, St. John's. St. John's, we scrimmaged them. St. John's is really good, especially with their running back, Cole Allen, who's committed to Harvard. St. John's is just all around good football team, and they didn't do too bad against them, I don't think.
And Lake Creek Lions are also a very good team. That's a team they got beat pretty handily by. And you can tell they've gotten a little worse just because of the fact that they were ranked 111. And
dropped down to 319.
Yeah, they were ranked pretty high, St. Thomas, at the beginning of the season, but then it went down after they lost some key matchups. So yet again, I believe St. Thomas wins pretty handily because the matchup's really not even close. We like St. Thomas a lot yet again because we know people from there, Jacob Husband, we know. Anthony Pellerin.
Jacob doesn't play anymore.
Obviously, Jacob, I believe, is a senior. And
he was a senior last year.
Yeah, he was a senior last year. But Jacob left, and then Anthony was supposed to play this year, but for some reason he didn't. Which, by the way, we have been trying to convince him to come play for the Warriors. Obviously, we don't think that's going to happen, but there's always a possibility. He's always been a good blocker, great offensive lineman, and he's just been all around. He's just a good kid.
And I accidentally misspoke. I said that they went pretty close when they played a pretty close game against St. John's. It was 30. They lost 34-14. That wasn't necessarily as close a game, but they did play a close game with Kincaid, which was a 10-point game. So
yeah. So some of their games were close. Some of them weren't. Obviously, they've just been heavily depleted based on the fact that most of their seniors have left. But yet again, I have St. Pius winning, and I think we both have them.
I thought you said St. Thomas.
I meant to say St. Thomas. I apologize. I have St. Thomas winning.
All right.
And that would be it for that segment, and we're going to interview one more team and go over one more team.
And to continue on, the next matchup to look out for is Atlas Homeschool at Trinity Leadership. I said leadership. It's actually Grapevine Faith Christian. I think Atlas, so they've played some tough teams. They played some
bad
teams that were not as good. The Atlas was ranked like 700-ish, and the team that they're playing is ranked, what, like 900-ish?
Yeah, ranked 900-ish.
I think based off who they play, although Atlas did lose to a team that was ranked
around Tomball's rank, Tomball Christian, and they hung with them, I guess, kind of.
Yeah, they did, and then they hung with them and ended up losing. But then they also played another team. They lost 28-0 against a team that was actually, like, based off the rankings, they weren't as good as Atlas. So we're going to have to see where they drop in their where they fall in the rankings. But I think Atlas is going to win this one.
I think so, too. I think they come home with the win here. I think it's kind of interesting because they played a team around Tomball Christian's rank, and they hung with them. Obviously, they still lost 47-25, with being an 800 or 700 ranked team, and then beating someone, but sticking with someone who's ranked in the 300, 400 range is pretty good. But then the question becomes, is the game they played next week, where they're playing Trinity Leadership, and where they got destroyed, didn't score a single point, and that was against a team that was ranked 700 or 800. So you can expect to see Trinity Leadership go up in the rankings severely, but you can also see that maybe they just had a good game or something along those lines happened. But it's kind of unclear of where Atlas Christian should be. And I think that concludes our teams that we're going to have to look for this week. Obviously, this is subject to change. Things could change. It could be different. But these are teams we want to look out for. Usually we'll do 5 teams, but we're running close to the hour mark, and we got to start wrapping things up. So I hope you enjoyed this segment as well. So this is a segment where we unfortunately wrap up our episode. I expected this to go a lot shorter than what it did, but I really had a lot of fun talking about all this stuff and everything. Obviously, if you guys have any ideas, any things you want us to do in the future, we're going to make an Instagram page for it. We're going to let everyone know when the podcast comes out every week. Make sure to follow it. At this time of 9/21/24, we do not have an Instagram page. We have not really done anything as far as social media for it or anything. So we'll have to work on that over the next couple of days, but it should be up shortly. What we'd like to do is make this big enough to where we can have hosts on every week. And some of those will include football players. Sometimes cheerleaders, they can talk about their practice during the week and what they had to do prepare coming up to the game. Because what you guys don't understand is it's not only the football players.
I think there's a lot of times where the cheerleaders don't get thanked enough for what they do.
Yeah.
But whether they realize it or not, our football players are very thankful for all the cheering that goes on.
And you guys will upload every week. If you have any suggestions, questions, comments, concerns, you can go ahead and DM us or DM us from our Instagram profile as well. We'd love to hear your ideas. We'd also like to have special guests on the podcast. I think we'll start with coaches, cheerleaders, and players, and then branch our way out to the other things.
We might have the TCW quarterback on next week, but we'll just have to see.
We got to talk to Caden about that and get that thing set up. But it'd be great to have him and get his insight on some of the games. So I think we're going to wrap it up here. It's been fun. And this is
Forge in Faith, the Warriors Way podcast. Thank you all so much. See you next time.